I want to. Life is long enough, baby, but I can't love you as long as I live. Maybe I can't give you diamonds, things like I'd want to, but I can promise you, baby, I'm gonna want to as long as I live. I never cared, but now I'm scared I won't live long enough. That's why I wear my rubbers when it rains and eat an apple every day, see the doctor anyway. What if I can't live to love you as long as I want to, long as I promise you, baby, gonna love you as long as I live. Take good care of me, because sneeze or two might mean the flu, and that would never, never do. What if I can't live to love you as long as I want to, long as I promise you, baby, I'm gonna love you as long as I live.
As Long As I Live, I'm Michael Wilde, and this is Mostly Singles on WGXC 90.7 FM. And tonight, it's what I'm calling the other side of last month's show. I was so happy with the music in the October fundraiser. You know, it came together in such a beautiful way. I thought I'd push the envelope and try to play the flip sides of every one of those records. Not every single one, but as many of them as would make a good show. The one we started out with was The Other Side of Ill Wind. That was Eddie Duchin and his orchestra with Harold Arlen singing As Long As I Live on the Victor label from March 1934. Composed by Arlen and with lyrics by Ted Kohler, written for their last show at the Cotton Club Parade that year. Notable covers for 1934 include Al Boley, Red McKenzie, and Benny Goodman, who recorded it twice. The later version in 1940 with a sextet that featured Count Basie on piano and Charlie Christian on guitar. See, I'm learning this stuff. As I go along with these shows and I bring them to you every month, I'm educating myself about this stuff. I actually sounded like I knew what I was talking about there for a minute. This one here is Vintage Duchin, the other side of my favorite record of his. And next up, Bing.
I'm like a dreamer who is awakened out of dreams of happiness and finds himself alone. You stole away, leaving me forsaken, like the lonely dreamer in the dawn when his dreams are gone. You found a new love and forgot your true love. Whoever you love, you're still in my heart. Didn't you grieve me? Didn't you deceive me? And yet believe me, you're still in my heart. The night we parted and said we were through, I didn't mind somehow. Then my heart started to cry out for you. Things are so different now. I can't caress you. Other arms possess you. But heaven bless you. You're still in my heart. I can't caress you. Other arms possess you. But heaven bless you. You're still in my heart.
Hi, Harry.
Travel on the road that never ends. Me and Mother Nature are the best of friends. Folks all say I'm lazy. I'm just dreaming.
Someday to say goodbye. But now that you are through with me, what can I do but set you free? So at least found a new love. Think of my true love ending this
wedding day.
So at last
it's come to this.
Oh, I couldn't hold love. Think of the old love going astray
away today.
No one ever knew
that you were
only having fun.
No, no.
And I couldn't see,
I couldn't be
the only one. Though you said
you love yourself,
you never cared at all, I know. And so at last it's come to this.
In the valley.
By jingo, said by gosh, by gee. By Jiminy, please don't bother me. So they all went away singing, oh, by gosh, by gum, by heck, by golly, by jingo, by gee, you're the only one for me. Oh, by jingo, oh, by gosh, by gee, oh, by jingo, you're the only one for me. We will build for you a hut, you will be our favorite nut. We have a lot of little old by gollies,
and we'll put them in the valleys.
Oh, by jingo, said by gosh, by gee, by Jiminy, please don't bother me. So they all went away singing, we didn't what on, we didn't what on. Well, by jingo, you're the one, by jingo, son of a gun, by jingo, you're the one for me.
Pretty baby,
By jingo, you're the one for me. What the do?
Oh, by jingo. That was a Three Keys in the Brunswick label from 1933, recorded April 7. And that's Bon Bon Tunnel, Slim Furness, and Bob Pease singing and playing this, the A-side, of the B-side Rasputin played last show. Although with these three keys, there are no B-sides. Before that, So At Last It's Come to This, that was not Irene Taylor. It was Joe Venuti and Eddie Lang with the Ponce Sisters on the Columbia label from the same year as the other record, 1932. Recorded in New York on December 16th. So at last it's come to this, you found a new love. The sheet music showing a photo of Bing and an illustration of a woman sitting with her hands over her face. Only here on this record, it's the Ponce Sisters, so maybe it's Bing who got jilted. bass, vibraphone, unknown artists. Jimmy Dorsey on cornet, Eddie Lang guitar. Piano was Ethel Ponce and Joe Venuti on violin. Vocal refrain by Dorothea and Ethel Ponce. Written by Marty Malnick and Frank Signorelli with lyrics by Gus Kahn. Before that, it was Irene Taylor, I'm Not Lazy, I'm Just Dreamin', from July 1934, taken from a movie clip. No, it's not your radio. It's a weird recording. You know, it was coming out of one side of my headphones. I thought something was wrong, but it's not. It's the way this clip was recorded, of Irene singing live in the radio studio with unidentified piano accompanist who may or may not be Seeger Ellis, whom she married around this time, singing a song written by Dave Franklin. The true flip side of Willow Weep For Me, with Paul Whiteman and his orchestra on the Victor label from November 17th, 1932, that I played last time, is the song we just heard, So At Last It's Come To This, the Irene Taylor version of which I can't find anywhere. So I substituted this rare little item from her heyday. And I don't think this is not a record. At least I couldn't find it on disc. So it's actually a movie clip. So, you know, see, I'm trying to be true to the spirit of the other side of last month's show. I mean, I couldn't find the actual other side of the record, so I got, you know, as close to it as I could with a very fine recording with the Ponce sisters, who I just discovered. I actually sort of fell in love with that recording. Plus, I've been playing a lot of Joe Venuti and Eddie Lang, so it kind of fits. You know, I really liked that. And then we started out with You're Still In My Heart. That was Bing Crosby on the Brunswick label from 1932. The A-side of the 78 shellac, Bing here accompanied by the Brunswick Studio Orchestra. The B-side, believe it or not, was Brother Can You Spare a Dime, maybe the greatest example of the perfect song for its time, tragic and powerful. This one is sappy, so for your 25 cents in 1932, you were getting the best of both worlds. You know, if you were wiped out by Brother, just flip the record over and You're Still In My Heart. I'm Michael Wilde. This is Mostly Singles. I'm calling this the other side of last month's show. Bit of a tongue twister. As I said in the beginning, I really liked the way the music fit and came together. And so I thought I'd try to just flip all the records over and do it again. And it's turning out to be a completely different show, but beautiful in its own way. We're going to keep going with the beautiful in its own way, with more Eddie Lang here as Blind Willie Dunn playing a cool little guitar duet with Lonnie Johnson. Thank you. Put You Down. That was the Rogues. Which Rogues, you were asking? Well, these were the Rogues who recorded on the MBM label from 1966 in February, which still isn't really much of a clue. A 60s garage band not from Mercersburg, Pennsylvania, but rather the 60s garage Rogues from Montgomery, Alabama, with a squeak. Sorry about that. I mean, that was the only copy I could get a hold of. The other band, last month's Rogues, had a sedate Mr. Sandman on the B-side, so I'm playing these other Rogues instead, who are in no way related. This one is backed with Stormy Monday Blues, which I haven't played, but soon may yet. Written by lead guitarist Max Kendrick and singer Rich Gaynor, who tells an interesting story about how the band formed in mid-1965 as a result of his being stationed at a Montgomery Air Force base and meeting three officers' kids who'd just come back from Germany and were playing together when the Beatles were there and hooked into the British invasion. So these are military, I guess you would call them military brats. I guess that's that was the then expression. So there they are in Germany, and they're being exposed and playing along with the Hollies, the Byrds, Blue Magoos, the Kinks. The group split up in 68. Military duty was a determining factor back then for a lot of these bands. I mean, a lot of the reason I'm, you know, I often play like, well, I played it last show and also this show. I'll say, you know, this is the only 45 they made, or this is the only record this band made. And it's generally during the, when I'm playing 60s psych garage or whatever I happen to call it, whatever month we're in, whatever, you know, if I'm playing those mid 60s weird singles with the bad sound and the poppy scratchy sound, it's because a lot of the guys in the bands got drafted. I mean, a lot of them were teenagers at the time, and then they hit the draft age and whammo, they were gone. I mean, that's what it was like back then. So that's kind of happened with this one. And anyway, so here's a good musician story from the horse's mouth. This is from Gaynor himself, the Rogues lead singer. And this is a quote. I'm not making this up. Here's the quote. "We were scheduled to open for Paul Revere and the Raiders at the first WHHY show at the Coliseum, but they wheeled out their Vox Super Beetle amps and bulldozed our equipment off the stage some 10 to 12 foot drop." End quote. You know, nice guys. I guess anyway, I'm not going to make a joke. I just thought that was sort of a little window that opened into a time back in the mid 60s, you know, where this is the kind of thing you could expect if you were playing a gig with Paul Revere and the Raiders, I guess. And then before that, the Squires. I know you're laughing because I played the Rogue and the Squires last show in that order, and you know, it turns out that there's like a million bands with those names, so it's pretty funny. That was Pieces, the name of that instrumental on the Crestline label from 1965. Last show I played Wonderin', which was the A-side. I have two names for the Squires here, Rich Judkins and Ron Pearson. Not the Squires from Bristol, Connecticut, formerly known as the Rogues. And there are plenty of Rogues in the 60s, as well as a couple of Squires. It's easy to mix them up, especially when the Squires turn into Rogues, and even more confusing when the Rogues become Rouges. Someone at the record factory put the U on the other side of the G, and presto, a brand new band, Forevermore, who only made 145, who never really existed in the first place, the Rouges, but for the label. Such are those who suffer the fate of a typo. And I think it's a kind of eternity. We opened the set with Deep Minor Rhythm Stomp. That was Blind Willie Dunn and Lonnie Johnson, Eddie Lang, Blind Willie, on the OK label from 1930, the B-side to Hot Fingers. And Eddie had to use a pseudonym to record with Lonnie Johnson, it being 1930 and all. So if you can read between the lines, you know what I'm talking about. This is Michael Wilde. This is Mostly Singles, the other side of last month's show. And next up, I Was Wrong.
I've never try to see it my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go on? While you see it your way, run a risk of knowing that our love may soon be gone. We can work it out, we can work it out. Think of what you're saying. You can get it wrong and still you think that it's alright. Think of what I'm saying. We can work it out and get it straight or say goodnight. We can work it out, we can work it out.
Life is very short and there's no time for fussing and fighting, my friend.
Try to see it my way. Only time will tell if I am right or I am wrong. While you see it your way, there's a chance that we might fall apart before too long. We can work it out, we can work it out.
Life is very short and there's no time for fussing and fighting, my friend.
Try to see it my way. Only time will tell if I am right or I am wrong. While you see it your way, there's a chance that we might fall apart before too long. We can work it out, we can work it out.
We can work it out. Life is very short. They're not kidding. I mean, I remember when that song came out, I have a very clear memory of loving that song right when it was brand spanking new. And it, you know, it does not feel like that long ago. So life is very short and there's no time. Well, there's time. There's time to play it again, Sam. That was the Beatles. That was a tooth. If you thought that sounded just a little bit too new, you're right. That was the 2009 remaster, first issued as a double A single, with Day Tripper on the Capitol label in December 1965. What happened here is that I was looking for the B side to Norwegian Wood, and saw it originally paired as a double A-side single with Nowhere Man, released on Australia. But since I played that pretty recently, I think I played a live version of them singing Nowhere Man. And so instead I decided to go with this, the B-side on the Parlophone 1967 EP. And a song that is pretty close on the timeline to when Norwegian Wood came out. I mean, this came out in December 1965. John wrote Norwegian Wood in January 65. So this is sort of like a year later. But the record didn't get released until later on. So if you can follow any of that, you know, it's that period. Not a revenge song. In fact, the opposite. And we can work it out. Paul did the, you know, I say it's not a revenge song because I only found out when I was putting together the show last month that Norwegian Wood, that he actually, you know, it's about an extramarital affair, and he goes, and the title of the song refers to the kind of cheap vinyl paneling that was all the rage back then. And yeah. By the end of the song, he decides to burn the place down, which I didn't know. I lit a fire when I heard that lyric. I thought it was about something else. Poor little Mikey, you know, my 5-6-year-old brain didn't really include songs that dealt with burning down the the place where the person that you were just having a, well, never mind. And we can work it out. Paul did the first half. This is a quote. And this is a quote from John. He said, "And we can work it out. Paul did the first half. I did the middle eight. But you've got Paul writing, we can work it out, we can work it out. Real optimistic, you know, and me impatient. Life is very short and there's no time for fussing and fighting, my friend." That's John's take on the song. "We Can Work It Out" became the Beatles' sixth single in a row to top the U.S. charts. At this time, no band had achieved such success. The track took over 11 hours to perfect. Up to this point, that was the longest period the Beatles had spent in the studio on a single song. And yes, I cribbed that from someplace. It really doesn't sound like anything I would write or even know. But there it is. Before that, A Shapeshifter. That was Rodney Holmes on the Rodney Holmes Music label from 2005 from his CD 12 Months of October, which I've been playing bits and pieces of over the course of, I don't know, a couple of years now. The new album, Axiom, is coming out any month, and I promise you'll be the first to know. You know, I had a long conversation with him the other day, and right before we hang up, I always say, when's Axiom coming out? You know, it's sort of like this last-minute thing, and he's always right on the verge. It's always just about to come out. So that's all I can say is that it's almost just on the verge of coming out, and I hope it comes out soon. Before that, you know, I said it before, you know, a minute of Rodney is worth, you know, a couple of hours of practically any other musician. I get more and more every time I hear, you know, well, I guess what I'm saying is that when you listen differently, or one listens differently when you're sitting here, you know, putting together a show and then broadcasting it, you have a different set of ears. I've discovered I have a different set of ears, and strangely, I hear new things. It's like I'm thinking about what has to happen next. I'm putting, you know, I'm doing like seven different things here, and I've got the headphones on and I'm listening, and I'll start hearing things that I never heard before, which just happened with that song, with that piece of music, Shapeshifter. I mean, I was hearing stuff and it was just striking me, and I just thought, wow. I mean, it gets deeper and deeper for me, especially with Rodney. Before that, Marble Town, that was Chips and Company on the M5 label from 1965. More Garage, that was the A-side. More A-side Garage from Cliffside Park, New Jersey. The B-side is Let the Wind Blow. Chips and Company are Tommy Brannick drums, Dennis Ferrant lead vocal, Gene Pistilli guitar and vocals, Larry Parisi bass, and Joey Zagarino lead guitar. According to the drummer, the B-side was written, not the one we just heard, but the B-side, which I played, I think over the summer, pretty sure. Now, every one of these records isn't what I played last month, but it's an approximation. I've tried to match the records in as nearly a way as possible, and still, you know, have this be fun to sit through. And I just found that this side of that other record was just perfect, right in the spot. So full confession. There's a quote here from the drummer that other song was written going through the Lincoln Tunnel on the way to the city to record this song, this one, Marble Town. They still didn't have one, coming as they were from Cliffside Park. How many songs do you figure were written that way? I mean, it's not the first time I've heard a quote from one of these musicians saying, "Yeah, we wrote it in the taxi going over to the studio," you know, and I'm thinking like, wow. I mean, it's not like Marble Town or even Let the Wind Blow was like this fantastic song. It That's not the point. The point is that it was this thing that they did. That's how they did it, you know, which is kind of, you know, I think it's interesting in all of its way, in all of its aspects to me. This band opened for the Byrds in Ohio in the summer of 65. And I mentioned that, you know, the Byrds have been flying in and around this show, but I'm not playing any tonight. I'm not playing any Byrds. This is the other side of last month's show, and I didn't play them then, despite what I just said about playing records by bands I didn't play last month. But alas, no Byrds. We started out with I Was Wrong. That was Circuit, C-I-R-K-I-T, on the Unicorn label from 1968, the B-side to Yesterday We Laughed. Little is known about this band. At least I don't know about this band. Formed in Michigan City, Indiana in 66, broke up in 68. Frontman Rad Hansen from the Deep South wrote both sides of this, their only single. Jim Schindel on lead guitar, Bruce Haney on other guitar, Scott Glimseek on organ, and Dave Goldman on bass, who wrote, "We recorded this song," and he's talking about Yesterday We Laughed, not I Was Wrong. Okay, so I'm doing this two times in a row here. I'm using a quote to describe a song that we didn't hear, but was actually the flip side of the song we did hear. So here's the quote. "We recorded this song in 1967 and sold all of 30 copies. I have no idea how it got on this album." And he's referring here to Psychedelic Moods Part 2, Journey Through Inner Space with Hydro Pyro and others. A hodgepodge of psych garage. You know, that should be the tag on the label of the record, right? A hodgepodge of psych garage. Sounds like kind of has a ring to it. I'm Michael Wilde. This is the other side of last month's show, and we're going to play a little Ray Columbus and the Invaders next. She's a mod.
She's a mod. She's a mod. Black.
Jean, baby, with her baby blue eyes. I don't want you looking at all the guys. Got to make you give me one more chance. I can't keep still, so baby, let's dance. Build a blue jean bar, cause the bar for me. Well, it's the bar, but so darling, darling. You dip your hip, free your knee, squeal on your heel, baby, won't do. Build a blue jean bar, baby, blue jean bar. Blue jean bar, baby, blue jean bar. Baby, won't you buy for jean? Ah, now let's go.
Listening to WGXC Acra Catskill and Hudson 90.7 FM.
Drive down. Something really worrying me, Lord, my mama, she don't lie, yeah. Blew out all night. Well, you may call me crazy, baby, I know right from wrong. Met my baby out middle of the road. She will holler, Lord, Daddy, sweet jelly roll. Lord, my mama, she don't lie me. Blew out all night long. Well, you may call me crazy, baby, I know right from wrong. Drop down, Daddy, let you, Daddy, see. You got something really worrying me, Lord. My mama, she don't know me. Around all night. Well, you may call me crazy, baby, I know right from wrong. Jack or Diamond told Queen of Spades, why with me be on your creeping way? Lord, my mama, she don't lie.
Don't Allow Me, Mississippi Fred McDowell on the R. Hooley label from 1964. This from the LP Delta Blues, written by Fred. I played a cut from the B5 position on this record last month, So this one is the A-side fifth track. This is the A-side, A5 position. Recorded at his house near Como, Mississippi, February 13th, 1964, with a one-caps condenser microphone. I love the way Mississippi Fred starts the lyric and lets the guitar finish the line. He does it profoundly with, "If river was whiskey, I'd be a diving duck. Dive down and never come up." The second time around, he dives down, but the words never come up, just the guitar singing without the man. It's just unbelievable. Before that was a live version of Blue Jean Bop. That was Gene Vincent playing in Italy from 1960. Not the flip side to Lotta Lovin'. That was Wear My Ring, and I was less than satisfied with it. It deserved its B-side status, and time hasn't been kind. So I replaced it with this hoppin' beauty, here live with Joe Moretti on lead guitar. From around the time Gene Vincent met the Beatles in Hamburg, and if you watch the clip, he's in full black leathers, which I'm sure made a big impression on the lads. And his singing here is incredible. You know, it sounds moldy. It's a bit, you know, the style is old and, you know, I get it. But if you actually watch this guy, this cat, while he's singing, you realize why he was such a huge sensation. I mean, it's so entertaining. I mean, Gene Vincent, he's the guy that sang Bebop-a-Lula, which I played, like, I think on my first show. I love that record. Before that, It's Love. That was The New Breed on the Polaris label from 1966 from Worcester, Mass. Again, like the Rogues, one of a half dozen groups with this name. These New Breeds were students from North High School, and this is their only record. They were big in Worcester, though, and they opened regularly for famous acts at the Comic Strip Club, where the comma is optional. You know, whether it's, you know, is it the Comic Strip Club or is it the Comic, comma, Strip Club? I mean, I don't really know. There's no comma in there, but I think that's part of the joke. The New Breed are Lee Vachon, Paul Vachon. I say it like the masterminded criminal from the original Hawaii 5-0, Vachon. You know, it's Lee Vachon, Paul Zecco, Frank Savastano, Paul Orange, and Matt Gentile, or Matt Gentle. Backed with Wasting My Time, which is okay. I mean, it sounds, I don't want to take anything away from the musicians on Wasting My Time, but to me, it sounded exactly like what Laura Hall and Linda Taylor would play when Wayne Brady has to come up with a 60s garage version called Wasting My Time. I mean, I'm not kidding. It really does. It's kind of scary. I'll play it next time. We started out with She's a Mod, Ray Columbus and the Invaders on the Zodiac label from 1964. Not the Skyboat song, which is The Other Side of Going Out of My Mind by Peter Nelson and the Castaways, but a different Beatlemania New Zealand band. The Skyboat song was just too crummy, or in the parlance of 1964, it was a real drag. You have to say it like George Harrison. Yeah, this was in the exact same spot as last month's show, and I'm swapping in with different New Zealand, same period, and also hailing from Christchurch. This song was a big deal there at the time. Note especially the four yeah yeahs instead of the obligatory three for that year. It was the British beat boom in full swing. And here's a good quote from a chronicler of the times, John Dix, who's a masterful Stranded in Paradise, is a compendium. I've talked about it before. I've quoted it before. It's the most detailed eyewitness writing of what was going on in New Zealand in the late 50s, 60s, 70s. It goes up to the early 80s, and then it kind of stopped right when the second wave of Flying Nun bands hits. you know, the book came out. So all of this stuff that I've been like playing whole shows of music that's not included in that book, but they came out with a, or I don't know who, I say they, I mean, another edition of the book came out, an updated version with all of that stuff from the 80s and 90s and early 2000s. But I don't have it. It's a really expensive book. It's hard to find. It's both editions are out of print. They're worth, if you see one, snag it. It's a great book. And anyway, so here's the quote. In Australia, a few beat bands had surfaced, but here was a group of young guys, seemingly from the old school, neat clothes and hair slicked back, actually lacquered, and then a shake of the head and voila, an instant mop top, from Presley to the Beatles in one easy movement, end quote. They were straddling what in those days was the great divide, the rockers and the surfies, and ended up mod. It generated hysteria, so much so that audiences on the South Island, swelling with pride, pelted the Rolling Stones with Eggs and Tomatoes, with whom the Invaders were touring in 1965. So there's a bit of Rolling Stones, Egg and Tomatoes, New Zealand trivia for you. And the other bit of trivia I had about this song was that I read in that same book that in one of these stages, they had this Australasia tour, and in one of the places, they played that song 9 times. I mean, the audiences wouldn't let them off the stage. They played it 9 times. You know, in encores and demands. And I find that incredible. I mean, I was thinking about it. It's not my favorite song, but it stuck in my head. I mean, when I was putting the show together, I picked it. I was arranging it. I put it into the slot. I checked it to make sure it was playing correctly. And before I knew it, that thing was stuck in my head. I mean, it's a crazy earworm. So that might have something to do with it. This is Michael Wilde. I'm playing the other side of last month's show. And the other side of last month's show in this position is a song that I didn't want to play the other side of for obvious reasons. And I'll just play something very close instead that's pretty lovely.
Il n'y a plus dans cette ville la joie qu'il y avait avant. Dans le temps, je suis perdue dans cette ville sans toi, toi qui m'aimais pourtant. Dans le temps, je m'en vais seul au long des routes retrouver le passé d'un amour qui n'existe plus mais qui a commencé dans cette ville. J'ai beau chercher, mais plus rien. J'ai beau chercher dans les rues, mais pourtant c'est en vain, tu sais. Quartier où l'on ne vit que la nuit, il y a comme avant. Dans le temps, autant de vie, de lumière et de bruit, on y venait souvent. Dans le temps, au club où l'on allait danser, j'ai traîné mon ennui. Quand le barman m'a vu entrer toute seule, il a compris ma grande peine. Il n'a rien dit, mais je sais qu'il a compris, il a mis l'air que l'on peut donner, tu sais. changé, mais pourtant tu vas marcher dans les rues, mais rien n'est comme avant. Tu sais, pas le temps, quand on s'aimait, oh oui, pas le temps, tu t'en souviens, oh oui, pas le temps, qui a passé depuis dans le temps,
dans le temps,
dans le temps,
dans le temps,
dans le temps.
Over, trying to find someone to take away. Get it cold.
Ooh, loud.
Back to back. gonna shake a leg.
Man, this show is going by fast. You know, I only hope I've selected enough music to stretch it out. I mean, I tried to do the flip side of last month's show, and I guess I forgot to factor in the fact that it was a fundraiser, and we were, I was spending a lot of time on the microphone imploring you to go to WGXC and be a sustaining supporting member, which some of you did, by going to wgxc.org/donate. There's still time. The fund drive is over, but we're still looking for a sustaining supporting membership. No, I'm not going to stretch the show with my own little mini fundraiser, but I just thought I'd put in the good word and also to thank you if you were one of the anonymous donors or a non-anonymous donor who was listening to this show and was, so moved to become a member. I hope that happened. I really have no idea of knowing if it worked. My goal was to get two people, and I hope two of you showed up. I really do. This was a successful fund drive. We're still not 100% there, but we're in pretty good shape. So thank you again. And I hope I did my bit. I hope it worked. And I thought that the music, when the challenge is to arrange a show and also have and make it be the fundraiser show, it has a special there are things about it that I need to do certain things, so I have to arrange the show just a little differently than I normally do, and it just worked out. Last month I thought, it was a happy accident, and the music that came together I thought was really very successful. I mean, it sounded really great to me, and that isn't always true. I try to do my best, but in that case, I thought it was pretty great. So I got this idea. I thought I'd just flip the records over and play the other sides of them. And, and swapping in where those songs kind of weren't good, I was trying as hard as I could to be true to the idea, but there was just some cases where it wasn't going to happen. So in those cases, I've been trying to match the music and put in something that is just as good, that would fit that era, that time, that style. That what we just heard was "We're Gonna Party." That was the Hamilton Movement, a record I did play last time on the Lookout label from 1976, which was like an Easter egg hunt for me. The A side to She's Gone. The last show, last month, I played She's Gone. That was the B-side. But it's confusing because She's Gone is also the B-side on some 45s to the A-side. So, like, there's records out there of the Hamilton Movement on the Lookout label from 1976 with She's Gone on both sides. So that's what I discovered originally. And then all right, so I'll get to what happened with the song before that. So what I discovered, however, is that there are other 45s from that same year on that same label where the A-side to She's Gone is what we just heard, "We're Gonna Party." So here are two identical Lookout singles from the same year, 1976, with two different A-sides. So having done all that, before I discovered "We're Gonna Party," what I found on the flip side of "She's Gone" by the Hamilton Movement on that label I just mentioned, what was the song that I played before that? It's called "Why I Want to Know" in parentheses. That was Nat Hall, originally on Loop from 1966. So it's a little odd because that song was on the flip side of She's Gone from 1976. So I poked around for other singles of that, and this was on the B-side, a song from 10 years earlier on the Soul Mafia label. I decided to play them both. So this Soul Mafia had She's Gone and then this one on the other side. Got it? Did I mention the Rogues and the Squires? I mean, it's the same level of confusion, right? You know, the more I explain it, the more difficult it becomes. And even I'm confused. But, I think I'm pure speculation here. But I think what's happening is that the Hamilton movement besides being already confusing because it's the same name of a band from the 60s that has nothing to do with this style of music. They're completely different people. Why they would come up with that same weird name is just a weird coincidence. I mean, it's not like this group stole the other group's name. That's not what happened. They just both happened to call themselves the Hamilton Movement. And I think the label, Lookout, was kind of playing fast and loose with She's Gone and putting it on different records. It sort of seems to be what happened. And pairing it up with other music. And your guess is as good as mine at this point. But I decided to play as much of the flip side of that record as I could find. And it turns out there's more than one. I could have just played She's Gone again, it being the original flip side. But I didn't want to. Before that was I've Tried, Billy Davis on the Cobblestone label from 1969. March, Metropolitan Soul, B-side. The A-side played last time was Stanky, Get Funky. And the information, as I mentioned last month, the information on the flip is missing from the label. It's blank, with just Cobblestone printed. So no, it isn't a typo that makes your copy valuable, but they are selling for mucho bucarinos. Any original copy is valuable. There's a real market for Northern Soul, and the 45s are especially sought after. The rarer, the better. So if you have an original Cobblestone 69 copy of Billy Davis singing Stanky on Get Funky and Blank Other Side, it's this song that I just played. And hang on to it. Before that, Heaven. The Last Time Around, that is not my description of what I did by playing it. It is the name of the band, The Last Time Around. Last time spelled as one word with one T. And no, it's not a typo. That's just the way they did things back in the 60s, you know. And that was on the Orlin label from 1967. It was the A-side. The B-side is Go, which I played in this exact slot last time around. And described somewhere online as a moody teener. So I'm saying credit where credit is due. I like to quote catchy lines that are true. So I didn't come up with that, but I thought it was good. And a little bit of Tommy James and the Shondells, and there was a little Crimson and Clover going on right at the end, which I really liked. Mid-60s Chicago Garage, John Kovich, Tony Story, Rich Morrissey, Mike Krueger. This is their only record, this 45. And we opened the set, a rather long set, to be sure, but I just set it up that way because I wanted to group the songs in that order. Well, I mean, that goes without saying, right? But I guess what I'm saying is that because of the strangeness of the flip side from the Lookout label, I wanted to play all of the music in that slot. So we started out with Dans le Temps, which you may recognize as Downtown. That was Petula Clark on the Disque Vogue label from 1965, not The Flip of Georgie Girl. The Flip of Georgie Girl, a song called Let the Stars Begin to Fall, was so horrible I couldn't begin to play it. This is just beautiful. Blondie did the same thing with Sunday Girl, singing in French like Petula Clark, and sometimes they're like mirror images. I mentioned once before that Petula Clark started her career during World War II as a child entertainer on BBC Radio. By 1954, she was charting with hits, and within 2 years began recording in French. And you can add to that Italian, German, and Spanish, plus a movie career. And she's still alive, as far as I know. And, you know, if I end up running out of time because I didn't get enough music for the show, I just might play Let the Stars Begin to Fall. I have it here, and I might just treat you to it. I mean, it's just so unbelievable. It was hard for me to listen to. That's all I can say about it. This is Michael Wilde rounding the bend of the November Thanksgiving edition of Mostly Singles. I'm calling this the other side of last month's show, which I've gone into copiously. And I guess this at this point last time, I played a little Charlie Parker. I was seriously running to the end of the show, and I was, when that happens, I sort of play the music and try to fit it, without, I leave out a lot of the description. So I don't know how much of that I identified, but it was the last time it was Relaxing at Camarillo, which was a sanitarium that Charlie Parker was in at the time. And I guess the musicians showed up, they made some recordings. This period of music is so out of my league, it's not even funny, but I love it. And I hope to know more about it. This one's called Scrapple from the Apple, Charlie Parker and Friends.
Thank you. favorite days. Yesterdays, days I knew as happy, sweet, sequestered days, all in days, golden days, days of mad romance and love, then gay youth was mine. Then truth was mine, joyous, free, and flaming life. Then sooth was mine, sad am I, glad am I for today. I'm dreaming of yesterdays. 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 Days I knew as happy, sweet, sequestered days. Olden days. Golden days. Days of mad romance and love. Then gay youth was mine. Then truth was mine. Free and flaming life. Sooth was mine. Sad am I. Glad am I. For today I'm dreaming of
a cottage for sale. The lawn we were proud of is covered with hay. Our beautiful garden has withered away. Where you planted roses, the weeds seem to say, a cottage for sale. From every single window I see your face. But when I reach a window, there's empty space. The key's in the mailbox, the same as before. But no one is waiting for me anymore. The end of our story is told on the door. A cottage for sale. Thank you. a window, there's empty space. The key's in the mailbox, the same as before, but no one is waiting for me anymore. The end of our story is cold on the door. A cottage for sale.
A cottage for sale. That was Willard Robeson on the Velvetone label from 1930. Original version of the standard conducted and sung by Willard himself. And this guy, Willard Robeson, I first heard of him in the last 5 minutes of one of Rich Connedy's old shows from several years ago now, of the big broadcast. He had this show on WFUV for 42 years. I've mentioned him before. He was a great friend of mine, and he played, you know, something like 60 78s per show. His show was 4 hours long every week. I mean, this guy put together 60 records every week. And in the last 5 minutes of one of his shows, he played Willard Robeson's singing Harlem Blues, and it just melted me. It was one of the most beautiful things, and I asked him for it, like, on the spot. I think, you know, I emailed him at the studio, and the guy, I mean, he had the biggest heart in the world. He sent me his copy, you know, of an MP3 of it. You know, he made it, he recorded it, and he sent it to me, because he had all these records that you can't find on CDs. He had this wall of 78s that, you know, I'm discovering now. When I'm, for instance, when I'm doing this B-side show, I played a lot of 78s last, or not a lot, I played some 78s last show, and I discovered that the B-sides are hard to find. I mean, if at all, if they're, you know, they're hard to get a hold of. And this was true of a lot of the music that he played. And so he sent me that record, and I've played it like four times. I mean, maybe not four times. I played it maybe three times. I try not to play things four times, but it's just so gorgeous. So I found out that Willard Robeson wrote that as part of a suite. And I went and found the other records, and I played them. I think most of them. I couldn't find one of them. I think there's eight of them. It's called the American Suite, I think. Anyway, Cottage for Sale isn't in that set, but it's from that same time, late 20s. And this one is from 1930, which is kind of the way late 20s for me. I mean, I think it's all part of that same period. And I love the way he sings. He's got a slight speech impediment, which I love. And that was a real beauty. Before that, Yesterday's, that was Billie Holiday on Clef Records. This was the 1952 version of that song. The label information is 1953. This recording makes this Billie Holiday's second and last studio recording of this song. She recorded it in 1939 when she recorded Strange Fruit, which I haven't played. And also features Oscar Peterson on organ, a man whose giant mitt was on my shoulder, getting from the stage at the Blue Note. I mean, he helped himself across the floor. I mean, he was very old. He had suffered strokes. He wasn't in great shape, but he was playing, he was performing, and he was coming off the stage, and he just leaned his giant hand on my shoulder, and I was touched by a giant. I mean, it's just, it was one of those things, you know, when people say, you know, I'll never wash my shoulder again. I mean, I had that feeling of just a tingle of like, oh my God, that was Oscar Peterson's hand. And it was so amazing. Yesterday's was released on Clef Records, later Verve, in 1953 from An Evening with Billie Holiday. All the songs there recorded in 1952. She never recorded a song in 1953 for all you experts out there. So, before that was Scrapple from the Apple. That was Charlie Parker on the Dial label from 1947. Charlie Parker, alto sax, Miles Davis, trumpet, Duke Jordan, piano, Tommy Potter, bass, and Max Roach, drums. A bebop classic, a counterpoint to Relaxin' a Camarillo from last month's show. This is Michael Wild. You've been listening to the other side of last month's show. And I'm coming up to the last handful of songs, some of which were kind of like I added on in case I had to, and I think I'm going to have to add them on, but maybe not. Maybe I'll be able to play out this show as written. So I'll just I'll keep going with Look Who's Here. This is Ted Weems Orchestra on the Victor label from 1932.
Gaze upon and put your praise upon. Oh, look who's here. My, my. Oh, look who's here. Looking cute and clever. Well, I swear I never will. You look who's here. My, my. What a beautiful smile. What a classical pose. What a wonderful style. What a wonderful these and a wonderful those. Oh, look who's here. She's an inspiration for a big ovation. It's the time to cheer. Look who's here. Thank you.
If you like it that way, Purple Canteen and Alley Records from 1969. Coming up at 10 p.m., Battlefield Earth with Dan Seward, mostly singles, is produced for Wave Farms WGXC 90.7 FM in the Hudson Valley in New York State. I hope you had a great time. Here's All Night Long, which was the flip of the first song that I played last month. Good night. Uh-huh.